Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast for the 3rd of May, I think it is, today at 7:30 in the morning on another overcast day. We had one yesterday that was overcast, and then by about midday it did actually turn into quite a nice day until about 4 o'clock, when it came down with rain, which was very useful here at Biggleswick Farm because we didn't need to water anything other than what was in the polytunnel, or the little potting polytunnel. I'm just going to wander down. I've made myself a cup of coffee, but I need to get a piece of newspaper to put down on the chair that I want to sit on because it's wet with dew. But I'm just wandering down past the pond, which is not quite as bone dry as it was. Little puddles in the bottom, but that's it. It's interesting that even during the hottest of weathers, it didn't quite dry up, which is fascinating. It shows that it does hold the water very well. And I'm just coming down to our potatoes, which have had a good dosing of rain. And the earlies, oh, they're doing very well, actually. They're doing beautifully. Poking out. Let's just move that leaf from that plant. Yes, we thought that we'd lost a few, but actually looking here, they're all doing amazingly. We've put grass over them initially to stop them from the burning sun, and I will build them up again. And so that they continue to sort of push up. But they're doing very nice, lots of leaves and and so on. So luckily I cut the grass the other day, so we've got more grass cuttings, and the grass itself will mulch down. Right, let's get something to put on the chair so I don't get a wet bum. I got a little bit wet yesterday, but we whacked on the wet weather gear, so it wasn't so bad. And then I shall light my pipe, I'm afraid. It's become my morning constitution, as it were, to get outside from the caravan, as nice as it is, and enjoy the fresh air and listen to the sounds. Yeah. I know I've got some newspaper in here, which is the shed, or cardboard. It doesn't really matter, actually. Cardboard might be better. Find a little piece. It might be newspapers. Now I'm going to plonk you down for a minute. So it's a Sunday today. Somewhere under these. Here we go. Our friend Ed had a stack of newspapers to get shot of, and he gave them to us because we use them for all sorts of bits and pieces, and it's not so easy to get newspapers. Not like in the old day when, you know, you didn't have the internet, so everything came in paper form, didn't it? Books. newspapers, free newspapers, advertising newspapers. Newspapers are not the same now. I mean, you've got the national newspapers, which are just sensational rags of rubbish, and don't believe a word of any of it. And then, and a lot of that's online. And then, of course, you've got the so-called local paper, if there is a local paper, you know, the local advertiser. And that's it. It's just advertising company stuff. And the same with magazines. You don't get magazines that actually are in the way they were. Not when I was younger. Right, let's have another slurp of that coffee before it's cold. and I'm sitting in a little area. I can't remember if I mentioned this in the previous episode. I've mown the area. I don't think this area has been mown for like 30 years. And it's quite nice because it does get the early morning sun, although we don't actually have any early morning sun here, but when we did, it got it. I've put it on a pallet and a couple of scaffold boards and then the chairs. So you're just up from the ground. And provided the back of the chair, I was told these chairs are a bit dodgy. That's why we were given to us, I suppose. Julia's mum's chairs, dining room chairs, but they're quite good, and you know, good for coming out and having a cup of coffee and sitting in our sun station, as it were, with all that beautiful sound around us. One of the things that's been nice to do here on the land is some areas which we're utilising a lot is to mow with the mower, and we're using the grass, as I said, for things like the potatoes and compost. So you know, it's all good, and it grows back relatively fast. Hello, Momo. Momo the cat has come to join me. All right. And other areas we don't, and it's nice to have that contrast, really, because you see just how tall things are, because you can see the ground. If you've got a mown area and then next to it you've got the complete wild area, you see the height of the stinging nettles or the brambles and what have you. And while in due course all this is going to change, I dare say, as we decide to move things to a better place or try different things out, it's nice that the whole area isn't one great big just mown field. It's got areas of interest, and consequently from the mowing the grass takes second best, and the little wild flowers that are in there, that have been in there for maybe 100 years or more. I get a bit chilly around the old neck, I'll just zip that up. They have a chance to spring up, and they do. And that's been fascinating. We've seen buttercups and dandelions and forget-me-nots and intricate little flowers, little white flowers and other little mauve flowers. And it's very lovely because prior to that, it was just the grass had come up, grown up to 5 foot, keeled over, more grass and stinging nettles, brambles and thistles, and that was just sort of repeated. And then whatever this other thing is, it looks like some sort of relation. Somebody said it was a relation to parsley. I don't know what it is, but that's the other carpet crop, if you like. I don't know whether it was a crop that was, you know, edible to sheep or cows, that just keeps growing back. I don't know what it is, but that's the other mainstay. I love listening to the birds in the morning, the different high-pitched clicks that some of them make, the wood pigeons, the robins and blackbirds. It's just, you know, just beautiful. And the cat, Mojo, loves it. He's stalking round, finding mice and voles and shrews. Right, I've had my coffee. I gulped that down quickly. So, I'm just going to plonk you down here, so I'm a bit further from the microphone, because I'm going to light up my pipe. Looks like there's some tobacco in it. This is a briar pipe called Whippet. Today's pipe smoking video will be out at 8 o'clock. Of course, I'm talking in now time. By the time you get this, I'm not quite sure when you get this, I need to charge up my power oak with some electricity and experiment with finding an FTP program. I keep saying this, I just don't get much time. It's Julia's mum's birthday, either today or this week, but she's having a party today. So we're going down to see her. And there's still things to do, of course, that we won't be able to get done. I have stoked up the pipe. And I shall light it now, bear with me. There we go, lit with a Zippo. My tamper is a twig, which I found here, of which there are a billion. Well, it's one that's just suitable for my smoking purposes. I can bring you back up closer to the old mouth now as I smoke and pontificate the world. So our polytunnel is nearly complete. We've got some hazel branches now which we've managed to bend, join together with table ties, and we've proved the principle, which is what I wanted to do. We have some others ready to be joined and bent and attached, and so hopefully this morning before we go we can get a couple more of those done. And I need to find a drill bit that will gouge, if you like, a circular diameter of the branch. So it's about, I don't know, 1.5 inches, 2 inches into the big upright posts, so that you create a hole, but the hole doesn't go all the way through. The hole is just really, it'll go in 0.5 centimeter. So it's a slot, I guess, so that you create a slot and the branch goes into it. That's the plan. I have some of those drill bits that do that, but they're not as wide as I think I'm going to need. And whether you can get them that wide, or whether my drill would be powerful enough to turn or cut or drill that wide, probably also doubtful. So I may need to find another way of attaching the willow to the upright posts. I'm sure there is last resort is you just screw it in. But the idea really is not to screw it in, because where the strength is in the bend is pushing out all the time. And that will put pressure on the screw, and it's only very soft wood, willow, and it's because it's live. It's likely just to tear. Whereas if the push is in the end of the branch, created by the spring effect of the bend, it's pushing against the upright posts, which are more solidly in the ground and also held together, braced together. Um, The other option, of course, is to make a circular cage of nails that the branch slots into, if you see what I mean. Anyway, I can't really explain it terribly clearly on the old nude dude. It's beautifully quiet, apart from the bird song. It is a piece of heaven, this. It is a haven and a piece of heaven. It's lovely. I don't know what's going on in the world. I can't talk about that. You know, when you're here, and I'm sure it's the same with people perhaps working on their allotments or going for walks and things, when you get away from the noise, or you immerse yourself on a project, life is so much nicer, isn't it? You're not worried about things. Sorry, I'm bashing this. And there's always that sort of sense, oh, you've got to come back to reality and engage in the world. I'm not too sure I want to. Let's go for a little stroll, shall we? I'll take you through a different area, which is out of the wind, not that there is much of a wind. And full of twigs on the ground, so you should get some sort of sense of movement. Although the twigs are probably not as dry as they were. So this bit that I'm walking through is an area where the Christmas trees really are predominant. Very much reminiscent of a pine woodland. And these trees are something like, well, they must be between 60 and 80 feet tall, quite close together, planted as Christmas trees that were never harvested. Oops. Because it's damp, it's funny, isn't it? The twigs on the ground, which are usually very crispy, are not crackling as much as I thought they might. I'm just wondering, along this very tranquil green and brown scene through now, a swathe of stinging nettles. We've got these little paths that we've tried to keep going, even though some of this land is with a little wood pigeon flying off. Even though it's an ongoing battle. Just climbing through some wet brambly, not brambles, branches, wet branches. Coming down to another oak tree that we've got. We have over 30 oaks of different sizes here, tiny little ones. That's not saplings, that's actual tree. Well, some are saplings, not the sort of 2-3 inch jobs, but things that might be 3 or 4 feet. Two venerable oaks, like the one I've come up to here, that must be a few hundred years old. And it's always good to touch a tree and connect with the negative ions in the world. And there's a robin, I don't know if you can hear it. I can see them. They love to follow us around. crunching on a little further. And the hawthorns are really coming out in a bountiful of blossom. More stinging nettles to go through. I'm just going to plonk you down for a second whilst I tamper my pipe, and I'm going to put you on a fallen tree. Quite a big tree, this. Bear with me. There we go. I don't know if you heard that, the horse in a field. On the perimeter, and let's wander through into our what we call Electric Avenue. This is the sort of main track that comes right down, right across the land, and this bit doesn't get travelled on very frequently, and I need to mow it, but on the floor, the forget-me-nots all over the place. Absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning to look at. Dock leaves. A myriad of dock leaves down here. Some huge. I wish they were tobacco leaves. They're huge. It's a shame you can't dry them and smoke them. Wouldn't that be good? I mean, I dare say you could. I never thought of it, really. What makes tobacco the only plant that you could dry and smoke? It's probably a process. Imagine that. I suppose somebody somewhere has tried it. And now strolling past down another little track full of stinging nettles. A few ferns, a few little birds that were on the ground, passing the polytunnel. These are some of the first tracks that we actually created through a huge area of brambles. And we did this all by hand with the old scissor snips, whatever you call them, the shears, hand shears. Almost now disappeared. Don't come down this area that frequently because we've been working on things. Ferns in the ground, ferns, not bracken. And coming, this is an area where you hear more crackles because there's so much wood and stuff on the ground. Dry as tinder it was, I was quite worried for a while that it might, you know, if it did catch fire, it would all go up. A lot of wildlife in here. Insects and bugs and various things. I saw a squirrel the other day. The first squirrel I've seen since we've been here, and that was what, last week or two or three days ago. Don't often see those. Never seen a rabbit or a hare or anything like that. And finally, we've crossed over to the other side of our little bit of land. There's another path to go down there, but it's a bit over difficult, slippery. And yeah, that's a little walk round. I don't, it probably means very little to you, but you get a bit of the sound. I suppose what I'm trying to convey. It's lovely looking at the ground. There's all these white petals from the hawthorn that have blown onto the ground. like a little sort of path of snow or confetti. And I suppose what I'm trying to convey is the absolute joy, the subtle joy of being out in the country, having a little piece of land that you can call your own, to a degree, of course, and how lovely it is to escape from the city. I mean, now I'm in my 60s now, and I've spent most of my life in towns and cities and trying to have careers which never really took off. And then you kind of think, what was the point, really? I suppose you need to go through all of that, don't you? You need to go through all the aspirations of what life might give you to realise that that's not really what you want. That actually there is nothing better than the most simplest things that were provided, let's say, at the beginning of time. A world of nature. You just need to somehow make your own home. Not that this is our home as yet, we still have to visit. But that's, you know, the next best thing. I guess people can do it in parks. They can't, you know, grow your own food in a park, of course. Or you can't necessarily guarantee to be alone in a park or in a on a public footpath, you know. But the basics of life really has more meaning. And is it that you only realise these things as you mature and you've tried all the man-made stuff and you think, yeah, there's some man-made stuff which is great, like my pipes, smoking my tobacco is very peaceful, very meditative, thoughtful. The fresh air out here is complements the pipe smoking. Yeah, anyway, I'm probably not really making much sense today. I'm just in a very relaxed, gentle, enjoying the countryside mood, which is what this does. It calms you down. I think it's very good for you. I think we rush around far too much. Anyway, I think I shall go and see how the lovely Julia is and go and do some ablutions. So until next time, I shall leave you. Take care, look after yourselves, and I don't know when this will be up, but I hope you've enjoyed it. Bye for now.